to the second time of Skylark of Space. Thank you so very much.
Go tape.
Hear now the words.
Greetings. I am Publius, and you, I suppose you know who you are listening to a long-form spoken word presentation on AnonRadio.net.
It is Friday, the 27th of February, in the glorious future year of 2026. This afternoon I am traveling to Chicago. From Chicago onward to Fort Lauderdale. From Fort Lauderdale to Barcelona. From Barcelona onward to Munich, where I should arrive on the evening of the 20th of March. So, for the next 3 weeks, I'm afraid shows will be a trifle spotty. Nevertheless, I do want to provide you with something. So, today, what I have for you is audio from 3 film transfers, which arrived back yesterday. Matter of fact, they arrived quite late yesterday, and so I wasn't able to do any of my usual modest editing, just sort of trimming them up. Well, I say 3, actually there's 4 segments which you'll hear. The first one is very curious indeed. For some reason, at least in December of 1965, Reader's Digest felt the need to put out a reel of trailers, short films advertising some of the feature articles in the magazine. Why? I find myself at a loss to guess. Anyhow, so the audio from the film trailer for an article titled The Atom Comes of Age will be the first selection. After that, we have an Encyclopedia Britannica film, Atomic Energy Inside the Atom. There's a film of that title on the Internet Archive, but this is a different film. 1961 production. I actually thought it was black and white, but when the transfer came back, apparently it was just very dim color. There is some color to it. I hadn't even realized that. Then we have 2. One is titled Everyday Radioactivity. The other is titled How Much Is Enough? And these are both produced by an outfit called Prism Films, P-R-I-S-M Films. Anyhow, all of these will be going up on Tubenix when I have a chance to upload them, and that could be as much as 3 weeks from now. The new laptop, at least, is powerful enough to do video editing, and in fact I have a nice... it comes with a KDE, which includes a video editing component called KDEN Live. So I'm going to try doing some stuff with that. Anyway, but all, like I say, all that should be up on Tubenix when I have the chance to do it. But for now, I guess, just enjoy the audio of these films.
Within our lifetime, science has discovered the means to break up an atom. As we know, this splitting releases enormous power. Power available for death and destruction, but also available for a better life. Nuclear electricity generating plants, like this one at Roe, Massachusetts, are symbols of how man has harnessed the atom for peaceful uses. No such structures existed a mere 10 years ago. Today, there are 83 around the globe and 65 more on the way. this explosion of electric capacity is needed to meet the skyrocketing demand by all of us, wherever we live and work. Meanwhile, the Earth's supply of fossils, oil, gas, and coal, is not infinite. We need atomic energy now. The standard electricity plant consists of a turbine being turned by steam produced from burning a fuel. Its nuclear successor operates on the same principle with one difference. Steam is now created by atomic fission. The heart of a nuclear-fueled electricity producer is the reactor, a huge steel and concrete shell enclosing tubes filled with uranium and surrounded by water. Runaway action is prevented by control rods. Before the first nuclear station could be built, a full-scale model had to be erected. As one expert says, everyone in this business is a Columbus standing on the beach, knowing that the next step forward will take him into a new world. From this control room, operations are monitored, production adjusted to demand. Among the touchiest jobs is handling the tricky uranium itself. Technicians exercise every possible care. A looming problem is the eventual shortage of the fuel. The answer lies in the switchover to so-called breeder reactors. They create fissionable material even as they consume it. The safety record of atomic reactors is excellent despite their experimental status. These little pellets are formed by uranium being stamped and pressed under huge force. The tiny expensive nuggets are treated like irreplaceable gems. Each is marked with its own identifying number. Then they're loaded with utmost caution into stainless steel tubes. The tubes, as we saw earlier in the diagram, are placed into the reactor's core, where they'll trigger the nuclear force. In a scene reminiscent of interns watching in a hospital operating room, the reactor is lowered into place. The pellets are inside. Initially, electricity produced this way was quite costly. Today, prices are coming down. Soon, atomic power will be as cheap or even cheaper than the conventional kind. And, of course, its production is completely smokeless. In the December Reader's Digest, this article, one of 40 in the issue, recreates the drama of nuclear electricity since former President Eisenhower dedicated the first United States plant at Shippingport, Pennsylvania. That was 1957. In the 8 short years since then, more and more throughout the world, whenever you and I flick electrical switches, it is the atom that responds.
Fast-moving objects.
You mean like the vapor trails behind airplanes?
Something like that. But these vapor trails are being made by objects moving at speeds a great deal faster than any jet airplane. And the size of these objects is smaller than anything you can possibly imagine.
What's making the vapor trails?
Well, you've heard about atoms.
Yes.
And you know that atoms are so small that no one has ever seen them.
Yes.
Okay. These streaks are not being made by atoms. They're being made by pieces of atoms. And these pieces are thousands and thousands of times smaller than the atoms themselves. This setup is called a cloud chamber. Let me show you the source of the streaks. This little piece of luminous watch dial was the source of the vapor trails you saw. Some of the atoms that make up the material with which the number is coated are breaking up and throwing out tiny pieces in all directions. We can never hope to see these pieces. They're far too small. But we can see the trails they leave. You may have seen one of these. It's a Geiger counter. When I bring the bit of watch dial close, the counter clicks like crazy.
Aren't Geiger counters supposed to tell you when something's radioactive?
This material is radioactive. To understand what radioactive really means, we've got to talk about atoms.
Are atoms round?
Who knows? No one knows what an atom looks like because no one has ever seen one. But many scientists over many years have observed things that atoms do. They've observed such things as the vapor trails in cloud chambers. In the clicking of Geiger counters. They've observed such things and many more, and have decided that since atoms do these things, then they're probably made up of certain different parts. They've decided that atoms have a central core. They call the core the nucleus of the atom. Now remember, a nucleus doesn't look like that. As a matter of fact, experiments indicate that the nucleus of an atom must be extremely small. About 1/10,000th the diameter of the entire atom. Scientists believe that there are other parts of the atom out here. But most of the material in an atom seems to be concentrated in the nucleus, small as it is. Now, if this were the atom of a radioactive material, there would be something odd about its nucleus. The nucleus of a radioactive atom seems to be unbalanced in some way. The term used in science is unstable. And because the nucleus of a radioactive atom is unstable or unbalanced, it tends to throw out some pieces of itself. And when one of these particles is thrown out, if certain conditions are just right, we see the vapor trail in the cloud chamber or hear the click in the Geiger counter. These particles and everything else that is thrown out from the nucleus of a radioactive atom are called radiation.
Are all atoms radioactive?
No. Just atoms that have a nucleus that's unbalanced in some way.
How about my wristwatch? Is it radioactive?
Try it on the Geiger counter.
Hey, it is radioactive. Does that mean I'm getting atomic radiation?
That's right.
Well, isn't that dangerous?
Not when it comes in such small quantities. There's a way to check your watch for radiation without using a Geiger counter. All you need is a magnifying glass. You'll have to wait in the dark for about 15 minutes so that your eyes become sensitive to very faint light. Then if you look through the magnifying glass, you'll see something like this.
What are those flashes?
Each of those flashes is caused by the nucleus of one radioactive atom throwing off a little piece of stuff at high speed. You're not seeing radioactivity itself, but you are seeing a visible effect of radioactivity. There are many materials in nature that are naturally radioactive. Apparently, there's some natural radioactive material in this rock.
Is it uranium?
It could be.
Uranium is pretty valuable, isn't it?
That's right. Radioactive materials are very much in demand today in industry and science. These small wafers of metal are not radioactive.
Where's he going?
He's carrying the tube with the metal wafers inside into the nuclear reactor building. The nuclear reactor is a machine that can make a non-radioactive material radioactive. Inside, the tube is lowered into the reactor itself. The other man is holding a counter, checking that the radiation level doesn't get too high. These are the controls for the reactor. The tube will be left in the reactor for several hours. When it is removed, everything inside it will be so radioactively hot that it can be handled only by remote control. This material, which was not radioactive, is now highly radioactive.
What is this stuff used for after it's been made radioactive?
It's used in many ways. It might be used in here. Radiation from man-made radioactive material is being used here to kill cancer cells. In other words, radiation is being put to work. Radiation can do work because radiation carries energy. It takes energy to make the Geiger counter click. That energy comes from the radioactive material on the watch dial. Inside this building, energy from radioactive atoms is used to generate electric power. Energy from radioactive atoms can send this submarine several times around the world without refueling. The paper inside this envelope can be affected by energy in the form of light. But as long as the paper is in the envelope, no light is going to hit it, and the paper won't be exposed. There's a small quantity of radium inside this lead container. Let's see if radioactivity has any effect on the photographic paper. Depending on the radioactive strength of the particular source of radiation we use, this may take only a few moments or many hours. Energy from radioactive atoms has exposed the paper. This energy was thrown off by the unstable nuclei of the radium atoms. It went right through the paper envelope, but the key was able to stop it. so the area covered by the key was not exposed. Well, do you know what you're looking at now?
I think so. These are vapor trails, something like the trails left behind by airplanes. But these are made by tiny little bits of material that are thrown off by radioactive atoms.
That's right. What more can you tell me about them?
Well, atoms are so small you can't see them. But they're made up of still smaller pieces.
So?
Well, some of those pieces are gathered together, and that's called the nucleus of the atom. And in most atoms, the nucleus is balanced.
Stable.
That's right, it's stable. But in radioactive atoms, it's unstable, and little bits are thrown out from the nucleus.
And those are the bits that are causing the vapor trails, right?
Right.
Lunch, you know you'd be getting energy from the food, but you'd also be getting a different kind of energy. Something on that table is sending out invisible energy detected by the probe. The radiation seems to be coming mostly from the bowl with the fruit in it. Is it coming from the fruit or the bowl? Energy is coming from the bowl. Put it to one side for the moment. Even with the bowl gone, you're still exposed to this unseen radiation. Every day of your life, no matter who you are, where you go, or what you do, you're bombarded by it. It's a part of the natural environment and has been since the beginning of time. You're going to investigate this invisible, everyday radioactivity. Discs are the ABCs of the radioactivity in your daily life. The different radiations they give off are known by the first three letters of the Greek alphabet. Alpha is the radiation coming from polonium-210, a radioactive element discovered by Madame Curie in 1898. Atoms of the polonium-210 are spontaneously giving off alpha particles, which are entering the probe and triggering pulses of electricity inside. The current is amplified by the instrument. You can see the flow of current on the meter calibrated in counts per minute. Each burst of current makes a clicking sound come from the speaker. You've probably heard the instrument called a Geiger counter. Put a piece of paper between the polonium-210 and the probe. The current drops, showing the paper has blocked the alpha particles. Nuclear researchers have found that alpha radiation is made up of subatomic particles that can be stopped by such things as a sheet of paper, your skin, and other relatively thin materials, such as air. Beta, the second Greek letter, is the name given to the radiation coming from strontium-90, an element chemically similar to calcium. The betas are also picked up by the probe and register a little less than 200 counts per minute on the meter. The paper that stopped the alphas has little effect on the betas. They go right through it. Research has shown that betas are also subatomic particles, but have more penetrating power than alphas. Now put a 3/4-inch thick piece of wood in the path of the betas. The wood absorbs most of the betas. Beta particles are stopped by such barriers as wood, thin sheets of metal, walls, and many other materials. And finally, the third kind of radiation. You may have heard of cobalt-60 in connection with cancer treatment. The atoms of cobalt-60 give off beta particles and a different kind of radiation called gamma, the third letter of the Greek alphabet. The combination of betas and gammas results in 300 to 400 counts per minute. Bring in the same paper. The radiation from cobalt-60 goes right through it. Cobalt-60 betas are absorbed by it, just as the betas from strontium-90 were. Now you're measuring only gamma radiation. This is a 1-inch thick barrier of lead sheets. Most of the gammas are absorbed by the lead, as the meter shows. Almost all of the radioactivity in your everyday life is made up of these three kinds of radiation. Alpha particles, which are stopped rather easily. Beta particles, which have moderate penetrating power.